If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
We go to Ukraine to check in with Joseph Lindsley. Joe, I'm looking at some listener texts after your report from the train Friday. Joseph's report brought to mind Iggy Pop's song, Real Wild Child. I imagine that that the song's energy matches that of the Ukrainian resistance. And another one. Wow, what a broadcast and history lesson from Joseph on Friday. Thank you and your producers for all you do to bring this to us. And also a Happy New Year, Rosh Hashanah message from that listener. How are you, Joe? What's going on today?
Hey, Bob. Well, good afternoon from Kharkiv. Currently under air alarm, probably the third or fourth or fifth. Who knows today? But perhaps we should play that Iggy Pop song tomorrow. I can't think of it, but I'm interested to hear it. And indeed, it is a wild spirit. You know, when I was on the train traveling across the country, as I've mentioned, you know, that is a time to reflect on everything that's happened. You know, you don't have cell service, so you're really kind of protected from the information. And, you know, here in Kharkiv, I used to call this city the edge of the free world because it's only 30 miles or so from Russia, from Mordor. And the missiles, as happened this weekend, arrive here before the air alarms even sound. But now, after I've been here so many times, I think of Kharkiv as the center of the free world. You have so many, you know, Ukrainians and foreigners here working for victory in a very intense way because they're so close to the edge. And I'd say it was a very consequential weekend here. Our team traveled on a multi-purpose mission. One, we were delivering a drone that was purchased with the help of the good people of Chicago, people who listen and are listening right now to WGN. That was led by volunteer Jim Gamash, and who's here now in Kharkiv from Aurora. And also that was made possible, the purchase of that drone was made possible by the community of the Ukrainian Catholic University, an effort led by Ukrainian Anton Hutriak. And so together we had this, you know, international alliance that traveled by train here to Kharkiv. And half of our team on Saturday morning went to deliver the drone to the soldiers. That story is a pretty interesting story and kind of hilarious, but I might have to save that until tomorrow because of the other things that happened. The other half of our team, which I was on, we traveled south of Kharkiv to a little village. We were on a reporting mission to a village that has been it was under Russian occupation for a long time, and there's a lot of rebuilding going on there. So as we were leaving, we left Kharkiv, beautiful, crisp, you know, 70-degree day. And about 30 minutes after we were outside of the city, we had reports that the Russians were attacking Kharkiv City. In fact, they hit a building that we had just passed 30 minutes prior. And it was a pretty massive attack, at least four of those Iskander missiles. And meanwhile, we're driving through this absolutely beautiful green and brown and black rolling fields. The land here is incredibly fertile. And we reached a small village down a rustic road. There's no cell service. I'm trying to reach our local partners to get in touch. And so we're stopped on this sort of dirt road. And in the distance, you can hear the sounds of war. You can hear the constant shelling. At the point where we stopped, it was unshaded, just fields, no trees. There was a roadside cross, you know, perhaps 100 years old. And you sort of feel like a sitting duck just standing there. We're waiting to, you know, find some way to contact our local team. And you know, besides the sound of the shelling in the distance, there's an eerie silence. I mean, just totally silent. It was such a surreal feeling, like something out of a Cormac McCarthy story. And then in the distance, a car approached, and with a local man and woman were driving. And our driver, Bodan, explained in Ukrainian, who we were looking for. And so then we go into this village, and the village is sort of woven within spinneys of trees in the middle of this very fertile series of fields. And as we're driving through this, like, I mean, you can just, everywhere you look, there's just absolutely rich vegetation. But the underneath the vegetation are the ruins of so many houses and buildings. And as we're driving through this village, it becomes apparent that every single house and building was destroyed. And this is just a little village, maybe with 600 people. And they, the Russians had pounded every single bit of it. And there were four houses, each with a little story. The first house we arrive at, as we're still looking for our friends, there were a bunch of maybe about a half dozen older men that were working to rebuild this house. And they were they were astounded to have Americans show up to greet them at this very out of the way place. And they all were helping a childhood friend repair his house. And so we saw the sense of community. And then they told us where our friends were. So we went down the road and I saw my friend Max Burtsev. He's a entrepreneur from Kharkiv. In fact, here in Kharkiv, he's got a sandwich shop that has great Rubens called Cowabunga. And he also has a digital strategy agency. But in the wartime, he created a volunteer group called Voluntaska UA. And actually, among their work, they buy drones, which with the help of WGN listeners, they had just purchased a strike drone to use in battle. But their other project is to rebuild houses, especially before the winter, to get roofs on houses so that they're not so that everything is not totally lost. And Max's and his team, their mission is to go to the places that no one talks about. You know, nearby is the little city of Izum, and that's become a popular place for volunteers. But this little village was ignored, and so they were there to help. And Max introduced me to they were working on a house right there, and the house had actually been totally destroyed. But they were rebuilding the garage so the family could live at least, you know, in some kind of shelter. And behind the house and the garage, there was a beautiful black patch of earth. And Max explained to me that Luda, the homeowner, while most of her family's at the front lines, she and her neighbors demined that garden themselves. They never had sapper training. They never had, you know, they probably just looked up YouTube videos on how to demine. Because all the fields beyond, you can't go there. It's all it's a wasteland of landmines. But she demined her little garden, and they sell, with Max's help, they sell those vegetables to restaurants in Kharkiv, including a restaurant where I ate last night. And sorry, I hear sounds in the background. So I'm not sure what's happening. Anyway, but I think we're okay here. And then we go to the next house, and it's the home of a woman named Irina. And the house, you could tell she had painted beautiful flowers on the brick walls, but now they're pockmarked with the wounds from artillery. And Max said, he said, I don't want to depress Irina. I want to show you something. And he took us to the backyard. And there was a grave. And the grave was covered with flowers that kind of looked like the flowers that had been painted on the walls. And that was the grave of one of Irina's five sons. She had evacuated before the full-scale invasion, but her son, one of her sons was there, and when she returned after the liberation, she found the remains of his body. Absolutely awful. Her son named Roman. And so she there was no system, you know, there was no authorities to help take care of, you know, so she had to bury the son, her son on her own in that land. And as she says, we are not afraid because we have Volia, and Volia is that Ukrainian word, that will to freedom. And so even as she's going through this hell and talking to me about her son, which she did, she was smiling. When she spoke about freedom, she was laughing. And I think we'll have to share the rest of these stories in the coming days. But what I saw, massive missiles to artillery shells. The Russians used everything against this one tiny village, regular people, and people who are still there and rebuilding, even with smiles, despite the hell that they have gone through.
So important to hear those small stories that you tell, because that really puts in perspective the huge story of what's going on over there. Joseph, mind those alarms, please, and we'll let you go and hope to talk to you tomorrow.
By the way, when I returned to Kharkiv, we got hit twice that day, which was extraordinary, in the morning and in the evening, and I'll tell you about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and I know overnight there was an attack on Kherson in the southern region, and then this morning on Odessa. So be careful, and
thank you, Bob.
Talk on Tuesday. Thank you.